So we are continuing to five. We've talked about love. Last week we spoke of joy. I hadn't talked much about this, but you know, we're looking at a metaphor. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and there's some good, all metaphors, it can be stretched and maybe pulled farther than it ought to be, okay? So, and I think it's Paul's intention, and the Lord's intention, in speaking of this terms of an agrarian, agricultural, alive sort of thing, is for the fruit just happens. We have an apple tree and it gives apples. We don't have to do a lot for an apple tree to give apples or for, you know, tomato to do tomatoes. It takes us, I hope. And as we think of these fruit of the Spirit, there is that idea of a working of God. God, the Spirit works in us. And we want to see, remember, the whole of these fruits is we want Christians to be Christian. And what does that look like? Display. There's this working together of God's Spirit, and the evidence of that is fruit and good places for the fruit to thrive. We make choices that will help that fruit be displayed. That comes up so much in the fruit of peace. Where, you know, you read the news now, and then, boy, we could use some peace. And that's, you know, so that's one kind of peace. Nations fighting, and it's awful, right? But we want to figure out, what is Paul saying when he's looking at Galatians? I'm going to look at three, okay? Two that probably are not what Paul's talking about, okay? Okay, so kinds of peace. One kind of peace that we have, God has made. God, this peace is the result of work of atonement on the cross. We'll be all over the place in the Bible here, so keep it in hand. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, here before, but therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcision, that done in the body by hands of, at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from foreigners to the covenants of the Pope and without God in the world, but now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall, the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create himself one new man out of the two, through the cross, by which he came to, which he put to death the hostility. He preached peace, access to the Father by one Spirit. So that kind of peace, that's that God made peace. You could think of it as he created space for peace to happen, available, possible to have peace. Peace with Gentiles who are separate from God, between us and God, by what Jesus made it happen. He won. Okay, that sort of peace is, he did it. All right. Christ is our peace, that kind of peace. So that's the, of God to us. It's God made peace. Okay, that's one. The work of Christ on the cross, the peace that God gives. All right? There's a peace that God made, once we have it. And there's a peace that God gives. And there's two aspects that there's a peace with God and the peace of God. All right? So let's look at those just real quick here. Romans chapter 5 and just verse. Therefore, having justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith into this grace and we rejoice in the hope of the glory. There is an aspect of peace here that is the right relationship with God. Result of the gospel, as we hear it and understand, opens our eyes, and we have that peace with God. We have a, when we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our relationship with us and the Holy God is made right by His grace, we can experience it and live in it. The peace with God, and that is something that has happened. All right, peace of the peace of mind, that supernatural covering that God gives us, that work of the Spirit in our hearts to allay our chapter 6, we have the famous words starting at verse 25 in my Bible. There's the heading, do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear, is sheep or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much? Who of you by his worrying a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need that before. And verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here's the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's that peace that God gives, that supernatural working of the Spirit. Now, I think this is about in the fruit. That is a work of the Spirit in us. There's just been times when it seems like things are crumbling. You're at the end of your rope, and you can go to God and just there. A resignation that you have that. That is available to you by His Spirit. There is that quality in a person, aspect of peace. And the one that the Apostle Paul references more so often, the peace that is fruit, again, as we consider this, the metaphor of fruit, all right? Something that God works in us in some ways to that peace. When things are anxious, are troubling in our eyes, we can say, Lord, I surrender to you. There's that aspect of cultivation that, okay? But I think what Paul, a third kind of peace, is that peace that God calls us to work at in the way we peace that we express and calls us to cultivate to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and with others around us. There's a living at peace with others. I'm looking at cultivating the Spirit. He puts it this way, and I think this is good. Since God made between himself and us, not and at his own great cost, God now calls us peace with one another as a way of living out the transforming power of the cross. Fruit is a practical thing. Spirit and peace is a very, very practical thing. Of course, understand that this has not come naturally. Okay, we are peace with one another. All right, our self-interest alone can put us at odds with one another. And disputes and fights and all can come up over many. And that is in Romans chapter 14 and 15. All right, Romans chapter, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time today. Now, Romans chapters 14 and 15, as we talked about last week, the situation in Rome, the letter going at, was this conflict between those whose faith was strong and those whose faith was weak. Okay, you can put those in quotes. The case here were those, mostly like the Gentile Christians who'd come to faith, who were strong in their faith, who were festivals, that those types of things didn't affect their relationship with Christ. I'd say is that those things are not important. Okay, the quote, strong. The weak, and again, it's probably the strong, they're calling these ones the weak, okay? Between the Sabbath, food regulations, probably in particular a meat sacrifice to idols, okay? And these were a big deal to them. And so Paul, they just were not getting along. And so that is what Paul is dealing with here then in chapters 14. Well, through the whole letter, the practical aspect of it comes now here in 14 and 15, okay? Now, we might know that all through when we went through the book of Acts, right? How over and over again, the Judaizers and just how ingrained it was. This is their life. From the moment they took their first breath as additions, and it's so powerful. And their culture, this is their very culture. So to suddenly just strip it away was very difficult. Who could eat with each other, you know, literally, these kind of things. All right? But Paul, here in 14 and 15, spends a chapter and a half to accept one another and avoid quarreling over disputed matters. That's what he's called. It's true. I know. Please, wipe the shock off your faces. All right? We do, right? I mean, we're human. And deep theological, you know, baptism or spirit or, you know, all kinds of things. You know, we may disagree about what money should be spent on the building or whatever. We have interests in these disputed matters. So this is important. Agreed with each other necessarily. Okay, Paul doesn't say, please, you must agree on these things. He says, in chapter 14, accept him who's weak without passing judgment. On one man's faith allows him to eat everything, But another man whose faith is weak, does not eat everything, must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted. He's looking for an acceptance, a willingness to say, you know what? I don't agree with you. You're my brother. You're my sister. I love you. That's what he's looking for here. Have contempt for those who are weak. You stupid. Why? It's just meat, people. Who cares what I bought? It's just, who cares? And don't condemn. Oh, you're eating the meat sacrifice idols? Yeah, guess where you're going, buddy. Let's get past this somehow. The central instruction that Paul is going to talk about. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. Here. Yeah, that make every effort. I mean, it's like Paul said, work until put everything you have in pushing a big boulder together. Whatever it takes, do it to make peace. That's what he wants. That's the central idea here. All right? There's three of them that I want to touch on here, all right? Three reasons why we need to make every effort for peace. Okay, three of them. One, we are subjects. In verses 1 through 12, that's Paul's name. Lord is Lord of the strong and of the weak. And so we are accepted by the same Lord. We've seen, okay, God accepts them both. We serve the same master. We aren't supposed to judge each other. It's the master that does it. We are not in a position to or point fingers. Let the Lord take care of it. We have the same master, him. Thirdly, we all live to the Lord. Okay, so everything, eating, drinking, working. And if we all do that, if we all have that kind of a focus, that's what drives us. Not the dispute. It's doing everything for the Lord together. And fourthly, in that idea of being subject to the same Lord, we all are subject to the same Lord. Secondly, we are constrained by love. We made a big deal here about that first fruit of the Spirit. Love undergirds all of it. Everything. Everything is bound together in love. Faith, hope, and it's very similar to when you talk about meat sacrifice. Because of our love for each other. Okay? Because Christians have freedom. Freedom. The strong in faith here, they have the freedom to eat this food. And Paul agrees. I mean, look what Paul says. 14. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food into itself. Got the message here from the Lord. He said, you know what? I get it, guys. I get it. And what we eat and what we drink, it's all from God. All right? Always is. Don't flaunt your freedom. Don't rub it in the other Christians' faces who maybe are just struggling with deep, deep, deep roots. Thousands of years hanging on to them. And how awful it would be just to rub their faces. Now, keep in mind, and I don't believe that Paul is suggesting that everyone must conform to the weak. Because ironically, so if you have somebody in the congregation, say, who, you know, is just young in the faith or really struggles with whatever issue may be, in some ways that makes them the most powerful. Ironic, right? I mean, they're the ones that run the show then. So it's not that, so sometimes our natural inclinations, let's just make it easy. Let's just draw a line somewhere. And then if you come into this, hey, just so you know, the line's here. It's love. So even in the week, Paul's suggesting, Paul was convinced, and I think his desire was to educate, to help people mature so they can understand. And I think that's the kind of a culture that we want to have in a church. Not to condemn, but to be careful. To be considerate, to voice opinions, to say, oh, you know, yeah, I do sometimes eat. They're shaped by Christ's example, all right? So in that idea of loving each other, that idea of accepting each other, in those first verses of chapter 15 of Romans, Paul expresses to us the example that Christ gave. And let's look at that. Well, you know what I want to do, I think. Well, yeah, we do. Okay. We who are strong to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then. Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews. Philippians chapter 2. Ephesians, Philippians, and verses 3 and 5. Familiar words. We just talked about them in our Sunday school time. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look out not only... Christ is our example. If you want to think about how we should interact with each other, look to Christ. Now, the reference in here, in verse 3, says it kind of a lament or a complaint of unjust suffering. Okay, the psalmist was complaining about being persecuted and suffering, all right, as we want it. What was Christ, when Christ was on the cross, what did he say? And even this morning, I was sitting at my desk and I just thought about that. In the face of complete injustice, Jesus literally did nothing wrong. And beat him, and whipped him, and mocked him, nailed him on a cross, and one of those yelled at him, and cursed him. And he had the power and the ability to call down angels, wipe the place out, which frankly is what I would have done. I'm pretty sure. Father, forgive them. Possible, right? Book of Acts. What? The first martyr was Stephen. He's being stoned. Again, can't imagine. I have no concept of people taking big old rocks and chucking them at God. You see, so there's that working together of God's Holy Spirit doing in Christians what Christians do, right? Which is peace. And us making the effort and looking at acceptance and submission and care and love. And this prayer, verse 5, is a marvelous one. I'm going to read it again. Heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's peace. Okay, that's, and you know, if you, that prayer says we want to have the mind of Christ. We want to think Christianly, okay? Think of how he would think of things. Opposite of those things. It gives us a stern warning. You know, opposite of the mind of Christ. When we are not thinking of self, the mind of self-interest. People wanting to be in unity, to sing and worship together, to go downstairs and eat. If we are harboring bitterness, we have another, if we're arguing or whatever it may be, affronted and... God is not glorified. When people look at us, when the outside is looking at Christians, the world needs Christians to be Christian. If they see us not having peace, what is it? Is it real or not? They're going to probably think not. Now, Paul, over and over again, in marriage, in churches, with our families, peace. People have peace. Make every effort for peace. Do what you can to have peace. Practice peace with each other. So how do we do that? How can we do that in our homes, in our churches, in our communities? A few things I'm thinking about here. One, all right, I think another thing we can do that's easy, not easy, just in our thinking, avoid, just be thoughtful in the things we say to, right? It seems so simple, folks, but I know it's hard. You know, just the words that we say, or that you heard something. If you hear somebody say something, it triggers something, you go, oh, you know, they mean this, whatever. Find out for sure. I know, I say. But what she heard on reflection was not really what I meant, right? Which, okay, right? So we got to be careful of these things. Be careful with our words and our attitudes and what they communicate. Three, be quick to apologize. That word sorry. Be slow to defend yourself. Now, I'm not asking anyone to, you know, take a beating from somebody, all right? That's not what we're talking about here. But in our world today where everything's instant, in line, and just shoot back at somebody and just really let people have it, I think the example of Christ is be slow. you can defend. Deal with our issues with each other in a biblical way. You know, Matthew 18 outlines it. You know, if you have a problem with somebody, go to them. And then if it doesn't work, get a couple of church. Because what we don't want is these petty things to blow up, and then the community sees and go, aha, see? That is a tough one. You know, we just... And sometimes it's maybe just identifying something as gossip. You know, just be, again, careful of words. That needs to be said? Is that something that other person would want to be said? Is this something that powerful things, and we want to avoid these things? There's a prayer that's attributed, let me find it here. Peace, there it is. It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Let me so love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. O divine master, grant that I may not be sold as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving and dying that we are born to eternal life.